fucking smart, smooth, smashing, smoldering smilers. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 156. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your amusing and animated adores of alliteration.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And today's show is brought to you by our spiffy, special, spectacular sponsor, Audible, the destination for audiobooks. So if you're a podcast fan, maybe you'll enjoy audiobooks where there's an actual professional narrator and voice actor reading a terrific book. Audible houses over 150,000 audiobooks. Just imagine books that you don't have to read, that you can just listen to.
Yeah.
And if you're new to the world of audiobooks, you can totally get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain. All right, let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz, hot shot. Actually, note here.
What?
Not a lot of people know where Pop Quiz Hotshot came from.
Oh.
Is that unbelievable?
Should we let them know?
Because people would write and be like, oh, I heard someone else say Pop Quiz Hotshot.
No,
we didn't invent it.
Yeah, it's from the movie Speed, right?
Yes, from the movie Speed, where the villain,
Dennis Hopper,
asks Keanu, or Pop Quiz Hotshot.
Yeah.
I guess the different challenges that he has to do.
A commercial in like the early 90s, late 80s, where they said that too. It was like Pop Quiz for
maybe they got
cereal or something.
They got inspired by that. We don't know. Well, Pop Quiz Hotshot may come from something else, but made famous by Speed.
We're alluding to Speed.
Good job, Brain.
Yeah, made famous as made famous.
That was only in the movie once.
Yeah.
We've done it 156 times.
Yeah, that's true.
That
is true.
Yeah. Your Honor.
Yeah.
Let that record reflect.
All right. So the premise of this is I have some random Trivial Pursuit cards from different versions of Trivial Pursuit games. I'm going to pick one card. You guys have your barnyard buzzers and buzzing with the answer. Randomizing.
Okay.
It is Trivial Pursuit Entertainment Singles.
Oh, I was hoping for
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Entertainment Singles.
We'll never know.
Is it just single
They're all
people?
Single people?
Or is it just like, is you don't a, play is, the game, you just
a,
have cards?
Is it a game?
Let's see if they end up all being single people, we'll know the answer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, all right. Blue Wedge for TV. Here we go. Mm-hmm. What sitcom starring Richard Mulligan of Soap was set in the same Miami neighborhood as the Golden Girls?
Oh,
I actually know this one. Colin.
That was Empty Nest.
Yes.
Correct.
That's about a single person.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, because he has empty.
I guess.
Empty
I don't think
syndrome.
His wife.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
Pink Wedge for music. What rock group of hits like Kryptonite was originally a trio? Dana.
Three Doors Down?
Three Doors Down. Yellow Wedge for movies. What Oscar-nominated director of The Piano won the award for Best Screenplay? Colin.
Was that Jane Campion?
Correct, Jane Campion. Purple Wedge for GA.
I think the idea here is that the card itself is only entertainment questions. Therefore, it's a single card.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Wait,
like on one single card, you get all these entertainment questions. Yeah, I can't figure it out.
Oh, okay. But why don't they just call it Entertainment Edition?
Beats me.
This is what happens when we get a card and no instructions.
No context. All right.
Mystery.
What sport originally called Mintonette was invented by William G. Morgan, a friend of basketball inventor James Naismith? Wow, everybody.
Badminton.
Badminton?
Incorrect.
What?
Highlight? No.
Mintonette?
Invented
by a friend of the basketball.
Volleyball. Okay,
so what? You guys all thought it was badminton?
Yeah,
well, yeah, Mintonette.
Yeah, we all just kind of... I mean, I guess that is
so
older.
Like,
that is too old. Yeah, you're right. That's
maybe. I don't know.
It's going to be
around the same time as basketball.
Yeah, around the same time as basketball.
It's not highlight?
No.
Are you sure it's not highlight?
That's a modern one.
I mean, maybe volleyball, maybe.
It is volleyball.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Huh. Mintonette. Huh.
I played volleyball in high school, and I didn't know that.
How do you spell Mintonette?
Mintonette.
That is good trivia.
Yeah.
Mintonette. Yeah. Yeah, it does sound dainty.
It does. Yeah. It sounds like a little pastry treat.
Yeah, and then but volleyball's like, ugh! Spike in someone's face.
Yeah.
That's the goal, is to spike it in someone's face. That's how they teach you to play.
That is.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Well, not in someone's face. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you can avoid it, the point counts.
Do you get a foul if it hits someone in the face?
No.
If it hits their face, they're probably not gonna.
Well, they should be paying attention. Like, you'd have to really work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, all kidding aside, the thing to keep in mind in volleyball, hitting someone in the face, that counts as one of their hits. So the ball's still in play. Oh, no. The ball's still in play. You'd rather hit the floor. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. But everybody would be so, like, distracted. Like, oh, no, my teammate.
They're bleeding. The
ball. Yeah, exactly. Nose is broken.
I've been on both ends of that, and neither end feels particularly good.
Okay. All right. Green wedge for B.O.
Okay.
Box office, maybe?
Oh, box, maybe. What veteran newspaper columnist of Gangsters and Ordinary New Yorkers penned The Good Rat in 2008? Book. Oh my God! B.O. book.
Oh, okay. Okay, veteran
newspaper reporter of Gangsters and.
Ah, man.
Chris Mafia.
Elmore Leonard.
Expert. No,
it's
not, it is.
David Simon.
It is. Oh, David Simon. You mean the show creator of Homicide on the Street and also The Wire?
Yeah, I mean, I knew he was a journalist.
Okay, it is
right.
Not.
Okay.
Jimmy Breslin.
Okay. Nope. Jimmy just
beats me.
He's just like, if you looked at a picture of him, he'd be like, "Yep, that's an old school New York journalist."
Okay.
Yep.
Speaking of which, actually.
Oh yeah.
Chris, I don't know if you know this. In Vegas, there is a mob museum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You should go. It's the Museum of Organized Crime.
Oh, mm-hmm. Exciting.
And they have, like, a bunch of, they have, like.
Were they active in Las Vegas?
Oh, they were, huh? Oh!
They built it.
Did they build Las Vegas?
Oh, my God, that makes sense. Yeah. I was like, what a random.
What a strange place,
Britney Spears. And I was like, a mob museum? That's so random. Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm so dumb.
No, the Britney Spears concert is random.
Yeah. Wow, that's right. Of course it would be in Vegas. Hey. Okay. Last question, Orange Wedge for WC.
Water closet.
Water closet. Yeah.
All WC Fields category.
What Kojak star died a day after his 72nd birthday? Everybody.
Telly Savalas.
Correct. The star of Kojak.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Can you name someone else that was an actor that was in Kojak?
I cannot. The lollipop.
All right. Yeah. All right. Good job, brains. So this week's topic, I hinted, well, we actually talked about it two episodes ago, how that might be a good idea, and then I teased about it in our mini episode, and how I teased it was, if you remember, I played a clip from a movie, and that movie was Hook, the Robin Williams movie, and it was the scene where him and all the Lost Boys and Rufio were about to eat a feast, and it turns out it was all invisible food and that you had to imagine it. So today, our episode is about fantasy foods. I need like a chime.
Yeah. Or like some pan flutes or something.
Yeah.
Leave that.
Yeah. I think of like, aren't pans like half goat, half boys?
Yeah, pans.
I just think of, actually the song I was thinking for this episode, I don't know if I'm going to use it yet. I was gonna, cause it was like it's a fake fictional food. What? So I was gonna get the theme song where it's like, you take a hot dog.
Take a hot dog with some jack cheese, or get in a pizza.
You get cheesy blasters.
You take a hot dog, stuff it with some jack cheese, fold it in a pizza. You got cheesy blasters, and then all the kids say thanks, Meat Cat, and then Meat Cat flies away on his skateboard.
Well, folks, this was going to happen if we're going to do a fantasy food episode, which is that I have prepared a Harry Potter food-based quiz. Okay.
Food-based?
Okay.
Harry Potter series.
You said no.
I may have said no somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. We'll see.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
unless like
you'll just buzz in and Colin just take Colin, a nap.
You're doing maybe I don't know what you're doing, but if you do a Star Wars food quiz,
yeah, maybe.
Maybe he
then
is.
We'll all fail.
Maybe yeah, he is. Maybe. Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
If blue milk is an answer, yeah, we're good.
That's damn it.
That's my one question.
That was the one question.
Okay, all right. Well, some of us have read Harry Potter, so let's begin. Okay. So we'll start off. Here is a question. Let me ask you this question. In the books, is Butterbeer alcoholic? Yes or no?
No.
I say yes.
Dana?
I think yes.
It is mildly, yeah, very, very mildly alcoholic. We know this, Colin, because Winky the House Elf, in a scene you must remember from the books, sure. Winky the House Elf gets herself good and drunk,
right,
off of butterbeer. However, it does not seem to affect humans as so much. If you go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme park in any of the various cities where that exists, which I suggest you do, butterbeer is not alcoholic.
For obvious reasons.
Indeed.
Because we're not in England.
What food item is described in the Prisoner of Azkaban film as being made of 70% croco?
Oh, you know what? Do you want to guess, Colin?
It's no, made you of, will get it.
You might get it. You might get it. It's made of croco.
Frog. Mm-hmm.
You're so
frog,
close.
Let's not frog chocolate
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chocolate frog.
Yes.
Oh, chocolate frog.
Yeah. Chocolate frog.
I actually knew that was a thing. Somehow that was,
wow,
yeah.
That's made of croco.
Made of croco.
Yeah. They
in the film,
see that. Wow.
Yeah, somewhere written on something.
That's
somewhere.
Clever.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. That is very clever.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a deep cut. Colin, you can go to the bathroom.
Oh.
At what event during the Harry Potter books, at what specific event during the Harry Potter books, did the spread of food include maggoty haggis, a slab of cheese covered in green mold, and peanuts covered in fungus, among other delectables? Specific event in the Harry Potter books.
Is this Dana. The Triwizard Tournament ball?
It's not the Triwizard Tournament.
Wait,
that would have been gross. Maggoty haggis, a slab of cheese covered in green mold, and peanuts covered in fungus. Something. This is a specific celebration. There was also a rotting cake.
Wow.
A really disgusting looking cake. Karen.
Is this Aragog's birthday?
It's not Aragog's birthday. It is, however, Nearly Headless Nick's death day party.
Oh, wow.
Ghosts, he's a ghost, celebrate their death day.
John
ghosts
played
cannot,
him.
Ghosts nice. Cannot eat, but if the food rots enough, they can sort of smell it.
Oh,
that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Now, here's something weird about Harry Potter. These are British books. We are the part of the Harry Potter American audience, and sometimes
do they localize some of the stuff?
Well, yeah, they localize some of the stuff, but sometimes they don't localize it, and for us it's just sort of like,
what,
huh, what actually is this a fake food that J.K. Rowling made up, or is this a real food?
A real British
food. Yeah, so fake or British. So at Harry's first Christmas dinner at Hogwarts, he eats, among other things, chipolatas. Chipolatas.
Oh, yeah. I remember
what
that.
What are chipolatas?
Chipolatas. Is it like...
I'm going to guess
French
weird knockoff Mexican food. like it is British. And
yeah,
it's like something got lost in translation.
French fries with cheese?
Yeah.
No.
I don't
enchiladas, but
no,
with chips. I don't know.
They're actually sausages. They're small, thin sausages. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's actually British.
I mean, the British people would know them more than we do, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah, they're sausages.
Chipolatas.
I'm super excited because I get to say the phrase spotted dick,
sure,
which is a dish that appeared in Goblet of Fire.
Uh-huh.
I think we all know that it is real.
Yes.
What is it? Describe it to me. Colin.
I believe it's like a bready pudding with raisins of something like that.
That's it.
Okay.
It's a steamed sponge pudding, so sort of like a sponge cake, but it's been cooked by steaming it, and it's spotted with raisins.
Where's the dick come from?
So if you had it without raisins, it would just be.
Like, is there other variants of dicks that are like not, you know, like, no, you
sure.
You
I think it's just slang for pudding. Yeah, I think. I believe so. It doesn't have. So. More British food that we encounter very early on in the series. What is a Knickerbocker glory?
Whoa.
It seems to be sort of a, you know, a euphemism or, you know.
Knickerbocker glory.
Yeah. Metaphor. Knickerbocker glory.
Is it an alcoholic beverage?
It is not.
It does sound like a cocktail.
Dudley. Yeah. Dudley eats it. It's a food that Dudley eats.
So some kind of candy or cake.
Yeah.
It is basically an ice cream sundae. It's in a tall glass, like one of those tall kind of milkshake glasses with fruit at the bottom and ice cream on the top.
Mm. Oh, you know what's funny? It sounds so American. Knickerbocker.
Yeah. It sounds very like July 4th, doesn't it? Yeah.
And that's real.
It's real. That's real. Kipper, the food kipper, is mentioned 3 times. What are kippers?
Sausage.
They're a little fish, right?
They are a little fish. Salt cured dried fish. Yep.
Kippers or yippers?
Kippers.
Kippers. Like mud skippers. Yeah. Kippers. Yeah.
So in April 2015, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter attraction in Orlando, Florida, and I'm actually very excited to hear this. April 2015, it began serving this alcoholic drink, which Harry tries for the first time in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. This is the hard stuff. The kids drink butter beer, and you always hear the grown-ups drinking this.
I'm not sure.
You hear about this a lot. It's fire whiskey.
Oh.
Everybody sits around drinking fire whiskey. So, yeah, it's the real version is a cinnamon-flavored whiskey.
Fireball.
Like Fireball. They sell you Fireball now. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're in a sorority all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... but it's more magic.
Here, yeah. And finally, obviously, when you're talking about Harry Potter food, you've got to think of Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans, which are like Jelly Bellies, but contain literally every flavor.
I have heard of these.
Every flavor. Now, there is a real-life version that is made by Jelly Belly, which contains nice, normal Jelly Belly flavors and then gross-out flavors.
Right.
Yeah.
Of the gross-out flavors contained in the real-life version, what 3 are based on substances that come out of the human body?
I
feel like it was Karen. Yeah.
Earwax.
Yes, earwax.
Boogers, I believe.
Yeah. Vomit.
Vomit. Yeah. There you go. Pee and poop flavored, probably just
didn't make the cut.
A little too much for Jelly Belly. Yeah. Yes. And that's it. Gross quiz.
Good job, Colin.
I'm just as surprised as you are.
You guys know me. I like to read about weird, maybe horror, macabre stuff.
Sure.
You do. I do know that about you.
Yeah. I like reading about it a lot.
No, like reading the actual horror stories, but the Wikipedia entry.
Which is
enough. It's like it removes you. It's like
it
one level.
It's like
of,
a resource. Yeah.
Right.
It's very scientific.
Yeah. But it's safer if you read the Wikipedia entry. Yeah.
You know, is there a bad fantasy food? Because it seems like food is always so fanciful and whimsical. Is there a bad fantasy food?
Yeah.
Like bad. A food item that exists in the fantasy or fictional world. And I came across the weird trend of human meat pies. That's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Baking human meat into things like famously Sweeney Todd.
Yes, yes.
You might know it as a musical or a film or a film musical, but really it was originated as one of those newspaper serials. Like little booklets, like the little the Penny Dreadfuls, and you read, and it's always like kind of like juicy and gothic and horror to like
really get over the top,
get the people going. And so in the story, he's the demon barber
of Fleet Street.
He pairs up Sweeney Todd pairs up with his neighbor who is a baker, and he kills the people he's barbering or he's shaving, and then his neighbor bakes it into meat pies and sells it.
Yeah.
People love it.
Oh, they're great,
William Shakespeare. And this is probably one of the weirdest and most violent and gory thing William Shakespeare, I think, in my own opinion, wrote is Titus Andronicus. Man, I don't know if you guys ever read the story of Titus Andronicus. It is effed up. There's a lot of really weird stuff. And one of the scenes is Titus serves his his opponent a pie made of the woman's sons, basically. Woman's two sons baked in a pie. And I read up more
I feel like for fictionally, it's like you can get away with the trope of like, oh, someone ate human meat because it's in a pie. So it's like, well, they wouldn't know.
Yeah, because right. It's all minced up.
Right. Yeah. And you sort of expect that the pie is going to be a whole bunch of, you know, it's very spiced and yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is pretty recent. In the 2000s, I don't know if you guys remember this.
You served us all human meat.
I don't know if you remember that time.
That time when I baked a pecan pie.
I was acting kind of weird.
I'm still unsure if this is a joke or not, but this did exist. It's okay. Something called Hufu.
It is. I don't know.
Well, if you were to break down the words, what do you think Hufu is?
Human food.
No, H-U-F-U.
Oh.
Human.
Under. For us, by us.
Yeah.
For
us. Hufu-boo. Yeah. It's human and tofu.
Oh, okay. Sure.
It
all
is
right.
A tofu product designed to resemble
I see.
Human flesh in taste and texture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke, but you can buy it.
Okay.
Okay.
And yeah, they have the curious.
They have clever taglines like for cannibals who want to quit. Deep rooted in people who were interested in studying cannibalism. Well, now it's gone. Obviously they don't sell or make them anymore. But it's kind of weird. I don't remember this.
Out
of
I do head. Not remember that.
But no,
I believe it though.
I guess you can make like a fake human pie, meat pie,
and it's vegetarian. Yeah.
Put in some haggis. One last thing, and this is a fictional food. Do you guys know what umbles are?
Umbles.
No.
UMB. It's an old, old
UMBLES.
Did it used to be humbles? Yeah.
It's just UM.
It's taken out. It, oh, umbles.
It's like
testicles.
Is this like.
You know, it's deer
awful.
Products.
Awful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Umbles and offals. But specifically deer.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. I wonder if it has to do with like humble and awful.
Yeah.
The umbles and the awful.
The umbles and the awful. So, but specifically, yeah. This is deer. Deer entrails, deer organs, like okay. the bad parts of the awful of deers is okay. called umbles. And when you bake a pie out of umbles, you call it an umble pie. And the myth is the phrase humble pie, when someone's like, oh, someone ate a slice of humble pie, they're referring to umble pie, a pie made of deer entrails, and because that's what the lower class people eat.
Right.
So
right.
eating a slice of umble pie.
That sounds a little pat. That so, sounds
yeah,
a little
that's
pat.
A little bit too perfect, but. But humble pie does come from the fact that there used to be pies made out of umbles.
So is humble pie an acorn?
Oh,
maybe. Or, yeah, it might be.
But they used to, you know, take H's out and add H's back in for pronunciation.
But we're just like, oh, you're eating humbleness. Yeah. You're eating a big slice of
humble pie. Yeah. Maybe. Someone's just like, humble pie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That could be a backronym. Mm-hmm. So there's some those, meat pie.
Those are some weird facts.
I like that. Yeah, you went kind of like the inverse, the
everybody's
fantasy.
Everybody's like, so magical and great. Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, guess what?
Yeah. I'm going to go body horror tofu.
Is anybody else seeing Colin right now as a turkey with wavy lines coming off of it?
Why so? It's always a turkey.
It is. It's always a turkey. Yeah.
The lines.
Oh, I can keep the party going with weird horror food.
Oh, yay!
Okay, so I have a quiz. It's mostly about horror and food and how they overlap.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to some dark corners here. I like it.
But there's some whimsical stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe scary children's programming as well. Okay, here you go. All right.
I like how the girls went the bad direction.
Barnyard buzzers, please buzz in with the answer. What 1978 comedy horror movie spawned 3 sequels, 2 video games, and an animated TV series and features a song Puberty Love?
1978 comedy horror.
And it has to do with food.
Oh, it has to do with food.
Or, Colin.
I got it.
Oh, go ahead.
Can't get it.
Chris.
Is it Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh. I've never watched it. What made them killer? Is it like some radioactive?
There was somebody, some weird scientist. It might be radioactive. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a parody of B movies, but it was so.
But it was itself.
It was a B
movie.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Don't look too closely at... Because at the end of that movie, the carrots strike back after they control the tomato. Like,
oh my God.
I mean...
Wow. Yeah.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, yes. Okay. What short story by Stephen King about a monster called He Who Walks Behind the Rose was the seed for 8 feature films?
Whoa.
Colin. Was that Children of the Corn?
Children of the Corn. A short story and it... There were 8 Children of the Corn.
Man, I knew they made like 3 or 4. I didn't know there were 8 of them.
Man, Stephen King is making some bank off of doing nothing.
Some good ideas. Okay. What 1966 Charlton Heston movie was based on the novel Make Room, about overpopulation of the earth? Everybody.
Soylent Green.
Is
people.
Is hoo-foo.
Yeah, but real.
But real.
But really,
just who. Just who.
Hoo-hoo.
Soylent Green.
What 2006 zombie comedy musical is about zombie chickens? And, you know, I'm gonna leave it there because it's a pun. The name is a pun, and I know you guys can get there. With
zombie chickens
and meat and monsters. That's all I'm gonna say about it.
Yeah,
poultrygeist.
Yeah,
man.
I was like,
team effort.
We're so good.
Team effort. Yeah. Poultrygeist. Yeah.
Poultrygeist. Night of the Chicken Dead is the name of the movie. What's the name of the titular yogurt-like white substance people eat in the 1985 horror comedy with the tagline? Are you eating it, or is it eating you?
Whoa.
1985.
They're eating a white yogurt. Like
yogurt.
Creamy.
Go-gurt.
Are the animals. You eating it, or is it eating you?
I don't know. It's probably eating like them,
the
though.
Goo?
The dip.
You're close.
The ooze.
The stuff.
The stuff.
Oh, like Oreo stuff.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's white, it's goo.
The stuff.
That's the stuff.
All right, so two scary, to me, children's movies, or like a little bit disturbing, both by Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah.
In Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, who becomes a giant blueberry after eating gum that doubles as everybody?
Violet Beauregard.
That's right.
Violet, you're turning Violet.
Another Roald Dahl book, James and the Giant Peach.
Yes.
James goes on an adventure inside a giant peach that's inhabited by a variety of large talking invertebrates. Name 3 of them. There are...
Oh, I see.
A number of them, like 7 or 8.
Well,
yeah.
Do we want to go?
Like worm.
A worm, yes.
Miss Spider.
Yes.
Was it a centipede or a millipede?
Yeah.
Centipede.
Okay.
A maggot.
Nay. No.
Grasshopper.
Yes, grasshopper.
Because he plays violin.
Right. Yes. Ladybug.
Yeah, ladybug.
An ant.
No ants.
Man, I suck.
Spider. Yeah, the earthworm is like blind. Glowworm.
Yes,
because that's how they light up.
Worm. A silkworm.
Right.
Sure.
Why is a silkworm doing on a peach tree?
In a peach. He's inside a peach.
Yeah. I mean, he can talk. He can do all sorts of things.
Well, that's because of the magical crystals or whatever. Where are all these? That's a really busy peach.
There's a lot of bugs
in that one peach.
Yeah.
It's a parable about overcrowding, really.
Oh, yeah. Peaches, insects, people.
Fantasy foods. Good job, you guys.
Right. All right, and let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
You're listening to Good Job Brain World News. Big breakthroughs this week. Lactose Schmactose. The government has finally confirmed that the moon is in fact not made of cheese. And in other science news, the boys in the Audible Laboratory have made an ultimate discovery. Top-notch engineers are hard at work creating a new way to read literature. Without actually reading. Yes, all you cerebral sirs and dexterous damsels can now rest your eyes and listen to books. What's next? Electric cars? Good luck and go get them, boys. Visit audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain to experience the future. And this concludes Good Job Brain World News.
Well, I have big news.
Mm.
I prepared a segment about Willy Wonka.
Yeah!
So I think we should probably just roll right into that.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about.
We've talked about Willy Wonka, the fictional Willy Wonka food. I want to talk about some of the efforts that have been made to bring fictional Willy Wonka candies to us in real life.
No magic hand fudge.
No magic hand fudge, which was the clearly the best candy out of the Willy Wonka. Out of the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, because I have like
magic hand
never
fudge.
Melting. Oh, hot cream for a cold
hot
day.
Hot ice cream for cold days. Yeah.
And then magic hand fudge.
Magic hand fudge. We're not going to tell you what that is. Just
Mr. Doll.
And look it up yourself. The Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory film, the original 1971 film, actually happened because it got financed because Quaker Oats, the food company in general, was looking for a way to introduce a new candy bar. And it just so happened that other people were kind of shopping around the idea of like, well, what if we were to make a movie out of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? And so Quaker Oats actually financed that film. What was supposed to happen is they were supposed to put Wonka bars on shelves in time for the movie. But there was a problem in that they were super gross. They just tasted very bad. And so they didn't get them on there. However, they did put other candies on shelves in the 1970s that were branded with Willy Wonka.
At the same time the movie came out or after?
A couple later. Years later. Yeah, but it was all kind of happening at the same time. This is really interesting. So the first two Willy Wonka candies are no longer in production. One of them is called Peanut Butter Oompas.
Okay.
They are... they're like peanut butter M&Ms. They're chocolate and peanut butter in an M&M type shell.
Okay.
I vaguely remember these, like, still being around in, like, the early
80s. They're like Reese's Pieces.
I kind of have a vague... Yeah. And also...
And were they orange? Or, I mean, were they...
Green and orange?
Yeah.
Yeah-ish.
Maybe.
and also the Super Scrunch, which was peanut butter and, like, Rice Krispie type things covered in chocolate.
Huh.
So those are the first two, like, real Willy Wonka candies that they actually made.
Okay.
Now, a few years later, they unveiled the real-life version of something out of the movie, which was the Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Yes!
76.
Yeah. Definitely, I remember those.
Mm-hmm. So the Everlasting Gobstoppers, they were the MacGuffin of the film. Charlie was going to have a fun time at the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. He gets stopped by Mr. Slugworth, who says, steal me one of these things, and I will reward you richly so that I can really stick it to Willy Wonka. And then Charlie, of course... thinks about it, but has a change of heart and
leaves it there
and resolves his story arc. Now, a gobstopper, as we've talked about in a previous episode, is a jawbreaker. That is the UK.
The gob is your mouth and it stops your mouth.
And very popular when Roald Dahl was Rule Dahl, as we talked about, was a young boy. The funny thing is the jawbreakers, the gobstoppers that kids would buy, they actually would last for a really long
time. Yeah. I remember I would have to do it in stages. Set it down and come back to it later. So gross.
Right.
Let it collect all the bacteria in the air.
Crazy thing is, Nestle actually has bought out the Wonka, essentially, division that used to belong to Quaker Oats. And I did not know this because I do not eat a lot of candy. You know, these kinds of candies anymore, but so many of the random like candies that I remember from my childhood are now Wonka branded when they weren't in the past. So
Nerds,
Wonka brand, Sweet Tarts.
I thought Nerds were always Wonka.
They were not always Wonka. See, that's what they want you to think. Sweet Tarts, Spree. Remember Spree?
The tube.
Those are Wonka branded now. Ready for this one? Pixie Sticks.
Are Wonka now?
Pixie Sticks are Wonka now.
Sounds all like the fanciful, like non-chocolatey
candy, kind brightly of weird, colored,
texture.
But Sweet Tarts. Huh. Sweet Tarts are Wonka.
Yeah, those were not Wonka originally.
No, none of this was. And then I do want to mention this. In the year 2013, scientists discovered a new species of fruit-bearing tree in South Africa. The fruit is about the size and the color of a small orange. But what they found out was that when the chimpanzees would take the fruit and put it into their mouth, and they wouldn't chew it or anything. They would just, like, carry it in their mouth and, like, suck the juice out of it for a while. It took hours for them to fully eat the fruit. And it just takes a really long time. It stays delicious for hours. And the what is the reasoning behind this is because the chimp will then carry the fruit for a really long way. By the time he spits out the seeds,
he's propagating in a new location.
He spread the tree to a totally new location. And the scientists have officially named it the gobstopper tree. Because it is like an everlasting gobstopper.
I want one. Cute. I want a tree. Yeah.
Wow, there's no Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, get on that.
No, this is a discovery of a new species, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. It's like you figure that we've seen all the trees there are to see.
But no.
We haven't. No,
nope, still finding them. 2013
found a new tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More fruit.
With a new fruit on it. Yeah. Gobstopper tree.
Come with me. So I took a little bit of a detour. Fantasy food. I kind of went into the realm of fake foods. And one of the fake foods we probably encounter the most living in California is imitation crab.
Oh. Yeah. Right?
I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah.
I'm not eating it thinking, oh, this is actual crab.
Right.
Like, you just think of it as another type of product.
Yeah, it's its own thing now.
Imitation crab. What is it made out of?
Fish.
Fish.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And pink food dye.
Starch and additives. Right. And Elmer's
glue. Crab flavor.
And crab flavor.
Yeah.
Kind of like mashed up fish. Mm-hmm. Gel together. But there are a lot of things that you probably don't know that we eat that is not the real, is not what it's advertised.
Oh.
Or it's cleverly tricking.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So
yeah.
One thing we did talk about a while ago, I think, is in our luxury foods episode truffle oil.
Right. Oh, right.
Yes.
No truffles.
And you blew my mind, Chris.
Yeah.
No truffle at all.
No truffles.
Truffle oil has the chemical compounds, but it's not like truffle has been like
been distilled down into
because it's almost impossible to get all that flavor into like spread it into
prohibitively expensive.
They would if they could,
right?
Yeah,
but it's like artificial. It's things that smell like truffles.
Yeah,
in olive oil.
And you know when it's too good to be true, it's probably engineered, fake, which isn't necessarily bad. You get to taste what you know the real thing tastes like without spending the money. Wasabi.
Oh yeah!
Oh
wasabi
yeah!
Wasabi is not real wasabi.
Not wasabi.
I just fairly recently learned this.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
It's like horseradish and green food coloring.
And green food coloring.
Yeah.
And mustard.
And mustard. Yeah, like mustard.
I mean,
mustard.
You can get real wasabi, but it's expensive, and it's so expensive.
And it's
there's
different.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, that makes so much sense. I was like, man, this is getting milder and milder as I like eat this sushi.
Yeah. You know, like I'm becoming an adult.
You know why? Yeah. Because like the real wasabi, it's like you put a teeny, teeny, tiny little bit on the sushi, and it's like super hot. But Americans eating sushi, like they use it like ketchup.
They just dip the whole thing.
Because it's so weak. It's so weak compared to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I was like, man, I'm...
Real wasabi comes from the wasabi plant. It's in the family of like horseradish. It's a little like root green and it's kind of gnarly. It's very small. And it's very expensive. And so to eat the real actual way is you shave a little bit. And a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What we see today in the packets that's super green. The paste. It's horseradish and some sort of mayonnaise. Some sort of mustard.
That makes so much sense.
Right. And the wasabi, they grate a little bit of it and they put it on the sushi. There's not like a blob of it. Like.
Yeah, it's not really common. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure there are tubes of wasabi that have like a little bit.
That are real.
That are real, a little bit, but it's not 100% made out of the plant.
Oh my God. I feel like the blinders are off. I was like,
I know, there's so many things. Like, I know, it's interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Boneless wings, not even chicken wings.
What is boneless wings? Is it just chicken tenders?
Yeah, or you know, or chicken breast, or just pieces of chicken.
Because I think in the American culture, we think like wings is associated with that size, drenched in sauce.
Yeah,
like that's what we associate wings with.
Yeah,
like boneless wings is just fried and mixed with sauce. This is a common one. We probably most of us know this is like movie theater popcorn.
It's not popcorn?
The butter.
Oh,
it's not butter. What
it's
is
fake
that?
Corn. Acorn fake
what
corn.
What am I eating?
Yeah.
It's not popcorn.
Yeah, the butter is, I mean, because like, it would go rancid. Yeah. You can't, right? It's just like oil.
Yeah.
It's mostly oil, right?
Yeah. Or a lot of people who
oil,
you know,
butter flavoring.
Grew up working in the movie theaters, you know, like when you're pumping the butter drizzling, it's not real butter. It is butter flavored oil.
Mm-hmm.
With some yellow dye.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It tastes buttery. It tastes good.
I was at a like a local theater, an artisanal kind of movie theater, and they put real butter on the popcorn, and it made the popcorn soggy, but it was so delicious. And it was like, oh, I see why they don't usually put real
because
butter
of
on there.
Soggy,
it makes it. It was like totally soggy, but it was very good.
So, it was more like a drink at that point.
Yeah, it was like a chunky paste that you put into your mouth.
Wow, I never thought about that.
The oil is different, yeah.
Yeah, because oil's not... I just thought it was because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably also the case.
Oh, yeah, but I never thought that...
The structural integrity of the popcorn.
Yeah, totally.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Man, you might see this in your supermarket, and there might be, like, little... You know, they have, like, little bite-sized brownies, little bite-sized cupcakes, little bite-sized things. Little bite-sized blueberry muffins.
Or they're berry not blueberries? Muffins.
Sometimes they are not blueberries.
What are they?
Fake berries. They are just blue, purple-colored stuff.
Little dots. No! Yeah.
That makes sense. I still feel betrayed, but that makes sense, I have to say.
They're literally not berries.
I know, and also blueberries are huge.
Yeah, you're right. Like
when
a whole blueberry in one of those little mini muffins.
If you had two of them in that blueberry muffin,
they could chop them up into little pieces or something.
You can't chop blueberries up.
Like a syringe and just inject
drop of purple
into them.
I assume... In the raw form, not raw form, in the pre-baked form, it's probably like a pellet, like a chip, like a chocolate chip. But
I bet you're right.
And then it kind of melts.
It just disperses into the muffin.
Yeah. Well, because when you put real blueberries in a muffin, like you open it, like the blueberry breaks while cooking. So you have like this weird gray stuff that's spreading. And this is like so neat, you know, in these little muffins.
Well, it's like when you go to... Like if you go to like you know Walgreens or something and see the packages of cookies they have like $1 and they're just like chocolatey chipperinos. You know? There's no chocolate in there.
Chocolatey.
They can't say chocolate chip.
That's another thing too that's kind of separates UK chocolate with a American quote chocolate.
Right, UK
like,
or real chocolate.
Most of our chocolate is made with soybean. You can't call it milk chocolate when it doesn't have, you know, X amount of cocoa butter or cocoa fat.
Right.
And so they have to say like chocolate candy or, you know, they can't say it's just chocolate, which is okay. Some of the candies growing up that it makes sense why we all hated them is because they did not have dairy. They were some of the first to have all vegetable oil. Mr. Goodbar.
Oh yeah.
No one likes Mr. Goodbar.
First thing to be made with, that was one of the first.
One of the first. No milk actual duds, chocolate. A lot of the coating, just the coating stuff. So coated.
It's kind of waxy.
Speaking of which.
What is this?
And I'm going to end my segment conveniently. With this package addressed to us from England. And it is filled with actual English sweets, as they call them. They don't say candy. Well, I mean, they say candy, but usually they call them sweeties or lollies.
We got some Smarties. What do we have in there?
Jelly toots or tots. Some lollies.
Jelly tots. Jelly tots. Parma violets.
Little violet candies. Those are old school.
Yeah, these are definitely picked out the weird ones for sure.
I'm gonna have a violet candy. Yeah.
Jelly tots. Blackjack. Aniseed flavor chews.
Great.
Whoa!
More licorice for us.
This tastes like sucking on a flower.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Alright, let me try it.
Like a soap?
Uh-huh. Like a decorative bathroom soap.
Oh my goodness, it does.
Like an old lady's living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like eating a scented candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all of these, my breath just got so flowery. It's kind of like a scratch. It's like eating a scratch and sniff sticker.
Yeah.
All of these treats and also this, if Chris, you can open it up for me. I know what it is. But all of this stuff is from Rebecca from the UK.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Where real chocolate comes from.
So sweet. She didn't send us any chocolate.
And this is an official Disney store pin from London.
Oh. Yes. Mm. And she wrote us in this card as one of those, quote, crazy pin people.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to say a big thank you for episode 149. You managed to make us sound not too crazy. Rebecca is a pin trader, and it seems like there's a lot of pin traders all over the world, including England.
We know about obsessive behaviors.
Yeah, we do.
We got it.
And then so she sent us all these sweets.
Thanks so much. That's so sweet.
Yeah,
sweet.
Thanks, Rebecca. All right. And we got one last segment to end our fantasy food episode. Colin, is it Star Wars related?
It is in Star Wars, but now I feel bad. I feel like, you know,
there's
here,
not a lot of food
I'll
in
squeeze,
Star
There
Wars.
Really is. I'll squeeze really it in. Not. We'll squeeze in the blue milk question.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. So Star Wars, you know, we see Aunt Beru pouring the blue milk. Mm-hmm. What's the blue milk? Where does it come from?
Bantha.
It blue does. Cows. It comes from the Bantha.
Happy blue cows.
Yes. Like happy yes, blue Karen, cheese. You are right on
it's
it.
It's Bantha milk?
It's Bantha milk in the Star Wars cool. universe. Yeah. Which and the Banthas are the big creatures that the Tusken Raiders ride. But I'm not here to talk about blue milk. I want to get back into proper fantasy foods. Karen, when we chose the topic, my mind quickly went to Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, that's awesome. I was thinking maybe Lord of the Rings because they eat the elven brain.
Limbus.
Yeah.
No, not Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. But no, like I was thinking, okay, this will be an easy one. Alice in Wonderland, it's full of food. It's full of fantasy. I can find some fantasy food to talk about. And I always loved Alice in Wonderland as a kid, too. I'm just
imaginative.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and one of those things that like you appreciate a lot more as an adult. You're like, oh, I didn't get this reference at all as a kid.
Really?
I think a lot of the stuff. I mean, he's got, you know, random math jokes and things tucked in. You know, Lewis Carroll was a strange guy, to say. But as it turns out, I fell down a different rabbit hole, if you will, yes, with a slightly
that's
different
the worst.
Twist.
Yeah.
That's easy.
I hate you. I want to talk about a fantasy animal connected to a real food, connected to an imitation food.
I know what it is.
I bet you guys probably During Alice's adventures in the book.
Wait, can we write down our answers?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Wow. This is
and then we'll
All right.
We're talking about
this is an impromptu quiz. This is a animal that we encounter during Alice's adventures. Yes. One of the characters. Answers up. The mock turtle. Yeah, someone talk about the mock turtle. Now,
can I tell you one quick thing
please.
That was so weird? I was Googling for some quiz, and it was, I was like, how many meats? I was going to ask how many meats were on something, and it was like, how many meats are on a turtle? It was like a list of questions about how many meats. That's what Google thought I was going to ask, and I don't know why.
And you're like,
who's been searching this?
I was like,
this?
I've never asked you anything like this, Google. Right. Why do you think I care about how many meats are on a turtle's body? Anyway, there you go.
How many meats are in a turtle body?
I almost followed it, and then I was like, I don't want to give Google the wrong idea.
Oh my god, it's the number one thing.
For what? How
in
many meats?
In autocomplete. How many meats in a turtle?
Well, let's we'll get here. We'll get there. I may be able to give you some idea. In case you don't remember, yes, in the book, shortly after playing some croquet, Alice and the Queen are walking off, and the Queen says, and I'm quoting here from the book, "Then the Queen left off quite out of breath and said to Alice, 'Have you seen the mock turtle yet?' 'No,' said Alice, 'I don't even know what a mock turtle is.' 'It's the thing mock turtle soup is made from,' said the Queen." And, you know, like, as a kid, that was a sufficiently silly, absurd answer. And, you know, as I got older, I think I did sort of learn. I knew vaguely that mock turtle soup was a real thing. In the same way that, like, you know, like mock apple pie.
Right.
Or other mock dishes.
What's mock apple pie?
Saltines.
Or Ritz crackers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cracker
it's
pie.
The crust.
With
it's
pectin.
Different.
No.
What?
The cracker is the apple meat.
Get out of here.
Yes, mock apple pie.
Is
with
crackers.
Saltines and like sugar.
After it drenches, it has a texture that's similar to like the baked apples in apple pie.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is a flavor fooler. Yeah. Huh.
Flavor foolery.
Mock turtle soup was a thing, which you could probably piece together. Turtle soup was a thing.
Right.
So turtle soup wasn't just a thing. Turtle soup was hugely, hugely popular in its day.
What?
Yes. And I mean, as early as the 1700s, even like in colonial times in America, turtle soup was a big thing. It was a big thing in England. It was a big thing because it was a delicacy. It started as as sort of an upper crust kind of dish and sort of trickled down to the masses, got more and more and more popular. Now, and there's two things to keep in mind. Making turtle soup sounds like it was a pain in the butt. Because just imagine cleaning a turtle, you know what I mean? Like dressing, like you got to get through the shell, you got to clean it up, cut it up. I learned apparently that there were many types of meats on a turtle.
Huh.
Wow!
It was
many types of meats to make turtle of. And as it got more and more popular, people are like, you know what? We can find a substitute here for mock turtle soup. A little bit cheaper, a little bit easier to make.
So it's like wasabi.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. But they weren't hiding the fact, weren't presenting, here's your turtle soup, and it was actually made with something else. Might. They're like, mock turtle soup commonly would be made with like sweetbreads or random parts of a calf. Okay. You know, anything from the brains to cow's feet, it was kind Elbows. Of a, yes, yeah. Yeah, it was sort of a catch-all. Turtle soup, incredibly popular. It was said to be President William Taft's favorite food.
Whoa.
His favorite food, turtle soup. This was a case where the imitation, kind of like maple syrup, the way that a lot of people prefer the imitation maple syrup, a lot of people started to get, they loved mock turtle soup. And you would go into a diner and it would say proudly on the menu, hey, mock turtle soup. By the 1920s, Campbell's soup had a mock turtle soup. Yes.
No.
Yes. This was how popular it was. You don't need to look it up, Karen, because I'm going to show you an ad. This is an ad. And I have to say, I like the direction they're going here. This is from 1928. This is an ad for Campbell's Mock Turtle Soup. Mock turtle soup. You'll like its unusual flavor.
Holy cow.
It's
a little kid. It's the little Campbell's kid riding a turtle. Yeah.
Wow.
Before she kills it.
Campbell's Mock Turtle Soup.
Mock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So man, how quickly it fell out of favor from going from like one of the Campbell's soup flavors to you suggest I eat what?
Yes. Yeah. Heinz Mock Turtle Soup. If you were in the business of making soups, you would have a Mock Turtle Soup flavor.
Did it go away, do you know?
It faded pretty rapidly, I have to say, over the next few decades. Yeah. They do not still make Mock Turtle Soup. Campbell's here available. I want to read to you some of the florid prose here from an ad that I found for Campbell's Mock Turtle Soup. Mock turtle!
Whoa.
A soup famous for its own individual and delicious flavor. A soup which has helped many a smart cafe and fashionable hotel dining room the world over to attract its distinguished patronage. The eyes of the trained soup chef will sparkle at the very mention of mock turtle soup, for to him it is an opportunity, the coveted chance, to display all the fine touches of his art.
What is it? Now I want to eat it. Where can we go to eat mock turtle soup?
If
of course,
you
it's
are
probably
making,
all a bunch of random stuff.
If you're making the traditional mock turtle soup.
I like how there's a traditional
The traditional mock turtle soup will be calf sweetbreads, basically.
All right.
Calf sweetbreads.
But is it creamy? Okay. Is it broth-based?
It's very brothy. There are some recipes you'll find today that just use straight beef, even. It looks kind of like a beef stew. Alice goes and she meets the griffin and the mock turtle in short succession.
Oh,
and she's supposed to go hear the mock turtle's sad story.
Oh, right.
And, the sad story of the mock turtle, as it turns out, is that he used to be a real turtle, and now he's a mock turtle.
Oh.
And
that's really clever.
It is clever.
Yeah, it is.
I have here a picture. This is,
oh, no.
These are the very famous illustrations by John Tennille.
Yep.
In the,
oh, my God, this makes so much sense
the
now.
Very right, famous.
Why, he's a calf.
It makes so much sense. If you look at the picture of the mock turtle, he's got a turtle shell and a turtle body and turtle flippers, but he's got the head of a calf, the feet and the tail of a cow and a calf.
Yep.
And so this is, again, the very sort of cheeky idea that
there is an animal.
You're ordering a mock turtle soup, and this is why you're getting cow parts, because this is the animal that mock turtle soup is made out of.
Wow, that's wow. Whoosh! Over
it,
my head as a kid.
Yeah, please, dude. This was all over my head as a kid. Yeah.
I really thought it was way too much subtext.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so, Dana, I mean, as you hinted at, the popularity really in the last few decades. It's kind of thing that you would make at home, mostly, these days. And to be honest, like, conservation efforts among turtle populations have really, like, it's not just is it hard and cumbersome, but it's really just destructive to the turtle ecosystem. There are a lot of laws that you would have to break in parts of the world to make every kind of turtle soup. You can still get it. you can still get it. Laws. You can still find turtle soup in many places around the globe. But there is no mock turtle actually giving up its life to make mock turtle soup.
Pretty funny,
it's though. A cow. Yeah. I had no idea that it was that popular.
I just envisioned it in my mind as being like green.
Green.
Shells
I would imagine it being served in a shell. As my kid imagination.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm just imagining the Shredder telling the Ninja Turtles that he's going to make them into turtle soup, you know?
And
then it's mock turtle soup.
But then it turns out it's mock turtle soup.
They all laugh and eat pizza.
Right.
There's the episode.
Wow.
That's the episode.
Done. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's our show on fantasy foods. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learn a lot of stuff about horror, fantasy food, Harry Potter food, what you've been eating that you think is wasabi is actually not wasabi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Turtle soup and more. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And whoa! So I'm Googling mock turtle soup. Turns out in some of the concept art for Alice in Wonderland, the movie, the Disney movie, they did have a character of Griffin and the mock turtle, but it just never made it.
It's funny, the mock turtle character has never really made it into a lot of the adaptations.
It's so cute!
Yeah.
It's like disturbing, a bit disturbing, because it's a sad animal that's all mixed up, and you're like, why is it sad? And it's like, I'm not a real turtle. And you're like, I don't know how to help you. like, this is not a solvable problem.
Wow.
That's a lot of the people that Alice sort of encounters in Alice. And it's like, okay, that's... Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. That is Alice in Wonderland. Oh, hey. Okay. Oh, cool. Bye.
But nobody's crying except for that one. And so you're just like, oh...
Yeah, he's very weepy. He's very weepy and downtrodden.
The oysters were really...
Oh, yeah, but oysters all died.
Right. And they ate them all. And,
that one was sad, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyways. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we'll see you guys. Sorry. Cool. You can go look for it. It's cool concept art. It's very, very cute. It's wearing like a little Donald Duck hat, a sailor hat. All right. Well, that's our show. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
You're so cute.